You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning. This is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson and Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And this week is going to be a really, really fascinating and indeed positive one that we all need to be really aware of. And we're going to be talking about how employers can support parents with children, a topic that comes up so regularly, and all really responsible employers should be considering that. And to do that, we're joined by three absolute local experts. We're joined by Sabina North of B3 Young Carers, Chris Sutton of Fenton Elliott Solicitors, and Alice Biddescombe of Panda People. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our three experts after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, thank you. Today we're talking about a topic that is so important, which is how employers can support parents with children. So let's start by introducing our three experts. Sabina, I'm going to start with you, if that's okay. For those who aren't familiar with you, and indeed the wonderful charity that you lead, introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. So my name's Sabina North. I have the huge privilege of leading B3 Young Carers. We're a small charity based on Harwell campus, but we cover the whole of Oxfordshire, and we support young carers aged between 8 and 17 years old that have a responsibility for caring for either a parent or sibling with either a mental health concern, physical disability, ongoing long-term illness, substance, alcohol or drug abuse. And we do that with our fabulous team based here on Harwell campus.
Amazing. Next up, Chris, again, thank you for joining me. For those who aren't familiar with you or indeed Fenton Elliott Solicitors, please enlighten them.
So I am the owner, one of the owners and the head of the family team at Fenton Elliott Solicitors. We're a specialist law firm who focus on family and employment law. And we operate out of our offices in Abingdon and Newbury.
Amazing. And last but not least, Alice, please introduce yourself and indeed Panda People.
So I'm Alice. I am the owner of Panda People. I provide independent HR support, whether that's to employers, sometimes on a one-off, so going and doing an HR audit, particularly relevant at the moment where employment law changes are coming in. But I also work with individuals and young people to help them prepare for job interviews, what to expect in the world of work, and kind of the young people part is a specialist interest. I used to work in education, and I think there's more that can be done to support young people going into the workplace.
Totally. We're going to talk more about that, I'm sure. Alice, I'm going to pick on you first, if that's okay. See how high bar you can set. You've kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
My song choice is Dream Big by Bob Villain. He himself can be a bit of a controversial figure, but I've seen him perform the song live and the impact it has on young people and the message it sends, I think, is really important for them to hear. And it's a great song.
Oxfordshire Station. Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song chosen by Alice, we've heard from our three experts, Sabina, Chris and Alice, about their wonderful businesses. So definitely head over to the socials and follow the work that they do. Today we're talking about how employers can support parents with children. And actually, Sabina, I'm going to start with quite a big question for you to kind of set the tone, if that's okay. Fine. What are some of the things that employers can do to support parents with children?
I think it is recognition. We I'm a parent myself. I'm a mum to two now teenage children. Well, they're not children, young adults, who we call them. I think we have a responsibility as an organisation that specifically supports families with caring responsibilities. You know, we cannot do that without recognising that with our staff. And it's about embedding it in our culture. With Be Free, we have flexible working options. We have part-time, term-time contracts. There's the opportunity to put in applications throughout the year. And we're really, really flexible with the time people start work, so that you adapt it for the school run. You know, I have had the experience myself, and I've had the privilege of having contracts which reflect me being a working mum in previous careers. And it's something that I really wanted to embed in Be Free, because with working parents come huge transferable skills. I mean, juggling everything. I mean, there's that well-known phrase, if you want to, you know, get something done, you give it to a busy working mum. And that is very much true. We have huge skill sets there. So we embed it in everything we do.
Totally. And Chris, what's your take here in terms of how employers can really kind of support, whether it be, I guess, on the ground in reality, but also if it's from a legal perspective as well.
So I think the key thing, speaking as a business owner first, is that businesses have to think carefully about what the most important thing in their business is. And most business owners, if they truthfully answer that question, will say, is the people in their business are the most important thing. But then think, well, what's the most important thing to those people? For most of them, it will be their families. So if businesses really want to thrive and they want to keep good people in their positions for as long as possible so that those businesses can build on the success of those individuals, they're going to have to give a bit of focus to the families of those people and what's important to them. From a family law perspective, families can be really different and dynamic, and each family presents a different problem. You know, there are a vast array of couples, single parents, separated families, blended families, you know, that are giving us lots of different problems that different employees will have, and they might need flexibility. So being picked up on that point of employers being flexible with what the needs are of those staff. I see a lot of particularly single parents or newly separated parents who have a real fight on their hands sometimes with their employers to say, look, I'm navigating this new part of my life where I'm going to have to start co-parenting and sharing my children's time. And I'm going to need a bit of flexibility, potentially with pick up and drop off times. But I'm also going to need a little bit of stability to my arrangement so that I can make long-term plans, because I'm not just planning for me anymore. I'm planning for a co-parent, I'm planning for my children, and I'm trying to balance all these things and spin all these plates. So I think it's just important for employers to think carefully about what their staff are going through when they're having these discussions about how they can help and how they can support families.
No, some really, really good points. And Alice, what's your take on this? Because I appreciate, as you touched on in your intro, you've got a really interesting background in terms of education, charity, and HR. So I'm really interested to understand your perspective.
Yeah, I think it's such an interesting and difficult balance. And one of the things that I really like within my role is kind of helping employers and employees find that balance. I think all too often, first of all, employees still don't necessarily understand their rights, or even if they do, they're too scared to ask and to kind of assert those rights. And then when they do, even recently, you know, I have worked with employers who are absolutely adamant somebody has put in a full day working week condensed hours request, and they were absolutely against it, thought it was unfair on other people. I had a really long and terrible meeting. It's one of the worst meetings I've ever been in ever. But at the end of it, we agreed to a 6-month trial with really clear guidance on what success looked like, so we could measure how that worked, we could input changes throughout. And actually, by the end of that 6 months, that individual was performing better, their mental health was better, their physical health was better, they were getting what they needed, and subsequently so was the employer. And just because an employee asks for something specifically, you may not be able to offer quite that, but if you can work together to find a solution, the outcomes will be better. That member of staff will stay rather than leave and move on. And a lot of the time it's just finding that balance between those two things.
No, totally. And Sabina, I'm going to move on a little bit to the work that you do as a charity, if that's okay, because I think something that Chris touched on in the last point, in terms of families can come in all different shapes and sizes. How should you go about having conversations with your team? And I'm sure it'll be a point that Chris and Alice will be able to build on, where you suspect that there's something that's not quite right, or you sense that they may be having challenges at home. How do you go about supporting where it hasn't been brought to you? I'd just be interested in your thoughts, and indeed Chris and Alice's views there.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I mean, our makeup of our team, we're hugely variety of different personalities, and that's what I love about it. So you get some people that will want to share with the whole team what they're going through, or what's happening in their lives, and you get those people that aren't. So it's building trusted relationships with those members of staff where they feel that they can come and tell you, and where they also tell you what support they need. So not you immediately trying to problem solve their whatever they have going on in their personal life. It's asking them what they need from you, and having those open conversations, and being I know we're using the word flexible quite a lot, but in your approach, you know, you want to build a workforce that are open, that can come to you and talk to you about anything. And it's also about having that support network in place. So at BeFree, we have an employee assistant program with counselling course that's attached to it. The flexible working and job patterns is just part of an overall package that we offer staff. And it's Alice and Chris both touched on there, it builds loyalty, it builds retention and really good staff that we want to keep, but it also reflects the lives that we're seeing in those that we serve. So we can't really support our young carers properly without supporting our staff in their lives outside of work, because that then leads to us being really great when we do show up for work and in what we do. So it's communication, and it's being on what the employee wants to do and how they want to handle that, and how much interaction they want with you.
No, really interesting. And Chris, I know that as a firm, you're very very good at making it a safe space to have that initial conversation. What are some of the pointers you would give for employers to, if they do sense that there is a potential challenge, to encourage somebody to potentially come and talk to you, or indeed a different method that you feel could be wise? What would be your advice?
We try and do a lot of things in terms of making sure that we know a little bit about each other's lives outside of work. You know, only this week, if we, as part of our regular thing, we shut the firm down for a long lunch. We all go out for lunch and we just share some time together. You know, hour and a half lunch, out and about, but we actually get to find out a little bit about what's going on when we go home, a little bit about what's driving us. And then we as a firm try and make it important that we support whatever our employees and our staff are wanting to support. They have a network at home that we want to be part of. So, you know, if it's their children are involved in an activity, you know, let us know. You know, if we can be involved in some way, we will. And that engenders, you know, a two-way street between a business and the staff in it. A business needs to create an environment where your staff feel comfortable talking to you about whatever's going on outside of work, because and they'll do that hopefully with the support of a good HR person, someone like Alice, who's going to give them all the right tips for how they can be a proactive and positive business. But you know, when someone then does go through a major life change, you know, and unfortunately it does happen to more people than we necessarily realize, we want to know that those employees are going to be comfortable going to their bosses and saying, this is happening. And I might you know, I might need a bit of help and support, or I might need a bit of flexibility or a bit of a change here or there. The number of clients I speak to are so nervous to talk to their bosses and ask the question about, perhaps, you know, a father wants to ask the question, can I rearrange my hours to leave early every other Friday so I can pick up my kids from school as part of our new co-parenting arrangement? So many are scared to even ask. And that's where businesses need to sort of create that atmosphere of being comfortable to ask those kind of questions.
Absolutely. I always remember in my own business, and do you know what? It was a proud and a sad moment. And this is no praise to myself, but Aoife in my team, who's had 5 promotions, been with me for a long time. She told me that very early that, you know, she was trying for a baby and having a and was doing that. And I remember it in a conversation at a networking event, and people were really shocked that I knew that she was trying for a baby and that was her plans. And do you know what? I think it's a proud moment for an employer to be able to have those conversations. And actually, family will always come before business. Yes, you know, we've all made really good points. The business needs to make commercial sense, and it needs to, you know, have money in the bank and all those kind of stuff. Of course it needs to be a win-win, but I think that the more open conversations we can have, the better. And I think we should be really, really proud of that. Alice, I'm keen to bring it across to proactive as opposed to reactive HR, if that's okay, and yeah, really talk about some of the things that you can do, whether it be your policies or whether it be as part of your inductions, to really kind of set that stall out from that kind of initial engagement with your staff to, I guess, kind of make these things just the norm. What are some of the things that you do with your clients and some of the great things you've seen?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of kind of expressing to employees or potential employees, you know, the journey starts right at recruitment. Showing in your advert the kind of benefits and flexibility that's available, working it through the kind of recruitment process into the induction, as you touched on with policies, staff handbooks as a kind of general guide so that people can easily reference and go and find the policies that they need. But also making policies not just being reactive. You know, there are a lot of changes coming in. People are looking at their policies, or they're looking ahead to next year when there are more proposed changes. Actually, you don't need to do just the bare minimum. You know, what do you as an employer want to offer your staff? And a great way of finding out what they want. I love a good staff survey. A fully anonymous staff survey. I love to go into businesses and anonymize the surveys, because the feedback that you get, actually, you can put in any number of support systems, but if that's not what your team wants or needs, it's not really going to have any impact. But all of the statistics and the research show that when your staff have that good work-life balance, when they have that space, they're less prone to stress, to burnouts, absences reduce, performance increases. You know, and where we talk about profitability, it has a positive impact. And again, it can feel really overwhelming to an employer, and the costings can feel overwhelming. But if you can sit down, you can, if you go through, take the staff survey as an example, you can go through, you can have a look, you can pick the priorities, and you can measure the impact. You do the same survey in 6 months, 12 months, and you can see how those things have changed. And personally speaking, you know, I, for most of my working life, was a single mother of 3. We're all neurodiverse, but I'm also in the squeeze generation. So I'm now at the point where I've got aging parents who are going to need more support as they get older. Sorry if my mother's watching this, but it's true. you know, but I've also got 3 neurodiverse children who will still need my support. And that juggling act and that balance of trying to meet those needs, wanting to do well at work, while also looking after myself, is a really tricky balance. And I think you touched on earlier, Chris did that kind of support network at work. We spend most of our time at work. I spend more time with colleagues than I do day to day with my family. And I hear, especially working in HR, a lot of people saying, you know, you can't be friends with HR. But I've got friends from nearly every job that I've worked in. Like, I want to connect with the people at work. I don't want to go in every day and not have that support around me. And it's so important to people and their well-being.
Totally, totally. Some really, really amazing points from the three of you. Thank you so much. I'm just looking, who do I pick on first? Chris, I'm sorry. It's your chance. You need to be a radio DJ for a moment. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
It's fine. I'm happy to go next because it kind of leads on from what Alice was just saying in terms of spending more time at work than we necessarily do with our family. We'd all like to switch it the other way, but the reality is we do spend more time at work. So my song choice is something that I get sent by my wife all the time when I'm at work far too long. I would like to play Ray, Where Is My Husband?
Introducing you to local trusted experts. This is The Business Brunch. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network, the friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that very clever song choice chosen by Chris. Well done, Chris. Although I feel Chris's wife should take half of the credit at least. We've been speaking to our three experts around a really, really important topic, actually, which is around how can we as employers support our staff force who are parents and have, you know, family needs, which is something so important. Sabina, I think that considering what you do as a charity, I think it would only be right now to talk about young carers, if that's okay. And really talk about what are some of the things that employers should be looking out for if they feel that there is a young carer connected to one of their employees, or there is maybe something they really need to be thinking about there, and maybe just give that insight into the work you do. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I want to just quickly pick up on what Alice said there about you don't have to do the bare minimum as an employer. We have a carer's policy, and you know, I don't know if any people know that if you've got a caring responsibility, you are entitled to a week leave. And what we've done at B3 is we've gone over that, and we make sure that that's paid for those of our employees that have a dependent or someone in the household that they are the main caring responsibility, bar children. It can be a child, but there has to be a registered caring responsibility there. And that's been invaluable. We had one member of staff unfortunately have something happened to one of their people in their households, and they used that last year. So normally it's unpaid, we pay. So we cannot really be the leading caring charity in Oxfordshire without clearly demonstrating that to our employees. With regards to young carers, if someone is a young carer, you can have young adult carers. So that would be anyone above the age of 18 above the age of 18 to 30 that is classed as an adult, young adult carer. And they may have someone at home. It may be something that they know that they are classed as that, or it may be something that they're not aware of. But it's arranging the support there for them and understanding their situation. It's just about getting that empathy in there and knowing that we're all going to be carers. I think Alice hit that. I think it was Squeeze Generation, you said. Yeah. See our parents now and our children. It's just about having the empathy and the flexibility there, and making sure that you are there if they do need to talk regarding the caring load and responsibility. And if they do have a young carer, and if it is for a younger sibling, then realizing that that employee might have the caring responsibility for the child, but also that the sibling is there as well, and they need that support as well. So there's quite a lot going on in one household of a young carer family. So it's making sure you're aware of what the situation is without prying too much, and that can be a balancing act. But also just recognizing it. I think sometimes they don't necessarily need you to come up with the answers or anything, but just having that yeah, you know, you've come to the office for this time in the morning and you're doing a really good job, but knowing what you've got going on at home, that's even more phenomenal, you know, and just having that recognition of what they're doing. They don't necessarily need, they might not necessarily need additional support or anything like that, but just, you know, take them for a coffee, sit down and just have that one-to-one chat with them and let them download and see what support they need. Or if they don't need support, it's great just to have that recognition.
No, totally. And actually, I think we can be really proud, and it's absolutely human nature to be proud of our people, isn't it? It really, really is. And as we've said, you know, work's only one part of that. Chris, I'm keen to ask quite a difficult question that I think a lot of employers struggle with, and I'm sure that Alice and Sabina will be keen to give their experiences as well, is where your staff are very reserved. And you know that they're working too hard. You know that they're really stressed. You know that they've got lots of commitments, and actually they're pushing too hard. And you're asking them, take some time off, relax. And actually, there's the no. How do you deal with that?
That's a really difficult question.
Sorry, Chris.
no, it's fine. I think every individual is different, but if you, there are two pulls on your attention as a manager or a business owner. You of course want to be focusing on what is best for the business. How do we focus on getting the best out of this member of staff? But you also want to be focusing on that individual as well. What is going on in their life? How do we support it? And sometimes those two things pull in opposite directions. A business owner or a business manager's job is to try and balance those scales, to bring it back to sort of a legal analogy. And you, it, there isn't always a right or wrong answer to each person. There are some members of staff, we've all met them, or we've perhaps worked with them in the past, who they need an escape. From whatever is going on, perhaps at home, and they need to be busy at work. You know, busy hand. What's the phrase about idle hands? Make light work for the devil, etc. You know, it's sometimes you've got those people, but equally, what you don't want is those busy hands not necessarily being able to concentrate on everything that they're doing to the fullest of their ability. So sometimes you might need to sort of subtly bring in a little bit more flexibility, perhaps some lighter responsibility, a slight refocus, on their attention. Maybe there's an opportunity for a member of staff to go on a training session that's half a day out of the office, bit of a change of scenery. You know, they're going to travel for an hour and a half to wherever the training's going on. There can be some creative ways to try and help. Or you just present the opportunity. It's, you know, when people have got life struggles, often the last thing they really want to do is talk about them all the time. You know, if someone's going through an issue because they've got a young carer situation at home, or they're at the beginnings of a throe of a new divorce, or a family member is very, very ill, sometimes they just want to escape it. And a business owner is going to have to judge whether that employee needs to talk, whether they need space, or whether they just need an opportunity to focus on something else for a while. And everyone's different.
No, amazing, amazing. I'm going to tweak the question slightly, but stay on a similar theme with you, Alice, if that's okay. So I think one of the things that we've pr probably all seen, sadly, is where we have that colleague who was always the top salesperson and then suddenly just off it. And we all know nobody wants to do a bad job, and it could be something outside. Or actually, we've you know, seen that person that's always in a three-piece suit or a full face of makeup every day, and then suddenly not. How do you go about those conversations in terms of you think there could be something wrong, but you just don't you don't know how to go about it? What's your advice in that area?
Think just obviously very sensitively, that's where either you as a business owner or the manager, knowing your teams, knowing being able to see when those changes happen, and sometimes maybe you're not the right person to broach it. Maybe they have a friend or a trusted colleague who will speak to them and just kind of dig a little deeper. I mean, obviously from the kind of practical, straightforward. If the sales are dipping and there's an ongoing issue, you can approach it from a more formal perspective, but you can still do that with empathy. Sometimes that's just your way in to have that conversation. You can say, I have seen that this has dipped. I've seen that the performance has changed. This is a bit of an issue, but this is unlike you. This isn't normal behavior for you. We're worried about you. And generally speaking, if you're a trusted employer and you've built that relationship, you'll be able to get there and provide that support, even if it's not necessarily with them giving you all of the details. I don't necessarily need to know what all the details of your life and what's going on to be able to give somebody support at the time that they need it most. And I think touching back on what Chris said, where people use sometimes work as an escape, I think very rarely, I think only twice have I ever had to say to somebody, you need to take this time off. This is the support we're going to give you, but you need to go and actually do something. And sometimes that is what people need. And it's a really difficult balance for employers to kind of manage. And that's where sometimes it is better to have an outside person who can kind of come in a different capacity. And it can feel less personal, whether that's HR or occupational health, but just an outside professional can sometimes make that difference.
No, totally. Let's have our final song. Sabina, I hope you're feeling pressure here because there's been a very high bar so far.
Do you know
What's
what?
your
There's
song choice and why have you picked it?
no pressure. I think you've saved the best till last here. I say that so confidently. Have you heard of the Ezra Collective? They played at Glastonbury. I heard them, I think, when they won the Mercury Prize. They're a fabulous band, and their roots are in youth work. And the song that I've chosen from that Ezra Collective is God Gave Me Feet for Dancing.
The Business Brunch Podcast with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Goodness, I brought these three guests together for their business knowledge and their people knowledge and the amazing work that they do themselves to support parents with children. But they're also great at music, aren't they? If you are just tuning in, today we're talking about how employers can support parents with children, a really, really important topic, which I think we should all be really passionate about. It's so important. And to do that, just a plug for our three guests. We've got Sabina North of Be Free Young Carers, Chris Sutton of Fenton Elliott Solicitors, and Alice Biddescombe of Panda People. Three great organisations. And yeah, please go and follow their social media and have a look at some of the great work that they do. Sabina, I'm going to take you a little bit further back in your career, if you don't mind. Back to financial advice, and we're by no means trying to give financial advice. Of course, we're not allowed to on the radio, but I think that one of the things that can cause a huge amount of stress, and I'm sure Chris and Alice will have seen this, is where a staff member is struggling financially, whether that be really short term or whether that be very much long term in terms of future planning for pensions, etc. What's some of your advice around the financial side? If you feel that somebody in the team is struggling financially, what can you do as an employer other than the obvious? We would all love to give them lots more money, wouldn't we? Of course we would. But what's some of your thoughts there?
I think with everything we've said today, it all comes down to the well-being of your staff and embedding that in your organization. So I know, for example, we have this app, and our staff can log on, they can get free legal advice, they can get watch videos on financial advice and things like that. We've had before in the past, we've had with the cost of living crisis going back to just after lockdown, when inflation soared, it really impacted. We saw the impact on our families, but also we saw the impact on our team. So I would always say to a member of staff, come and see us as early as you can, talk through the situation. If there is anything we can do, We will ask. So, for example, with the cost of living crisis where inflation, I think for the budget, I predicted inflation to be like 3% or something in that year, and it soared to over 10. You know, I saw it in my weekly shop. I'm sure my staff did as well. I was able to go to a funder and just say, look, this is where we are. They were funding some of our staff, youth workers' salaries, and we were able to give them an increase on that. So I was able to pick up on that before it became a problem. But I hope any member of staff would be able to come to us first and foremost, sit down and have a conversation, and where we can, we help. But something we do quite well, and it's part of the wellbeing package and keeping communication open in our team, we do like wellbeing days, but we also have done in the past, financial advisors have come in just to give our staff Amazing. Free access to them. Just it can be on, you know, I've got an ISA, what's, you know, just updating us on those things, because your priority is your home life. You come to work, and coming out of the financial sector as I have, I used to think, oh, why aren't people so, you know, interested in their pensions? Why are they not moving these funds over to this, you know, new fund? And now I've come away from that. I totally get it. It's because your priorities are going to work, spending time with your family. So it's important about having that time in the diaries when you can, you know, if someone has got some financial stuff, like the, you know, mortgage rates and things like that that they need to do, or they're buying a house and it's a critical time for them, giving them that time to have a look at the finances. But it's like anything, keeping communication open. I think we all want the best for our employees, and we want to serve them so that they can serve our young carer population. So anything we can do to help them and minimise worry, then we will, especially when it comes to finance, yeah.
Totally. It's one of those things, and I think it was one of my real learning curves in business. You know, it's I've written about it quite a lot on LinkedIn in terms of my aspiration for early retirement, and a point that Cara, that used to be in our team a couple of years back, said, Ben, just because it's your dream, it doesn't mean it's all of our dreams. Yeah. And that line just really kind of sat, because, you know, we see as recruiters so many employers who offer these amazing pension schemes where the employers are putting in, I think the highest I've seen is 26.2% from the employer, but the staff member still isn't putting their 5% in order to get that. And whilst it may seem, you know, really silly to us, it's really interesting in terms of, we can give that information, but we can't give, we can't necessarily give our, you know, it's not necessarily our decisions, which is fascinating.
I think it comes back to what Alice was saying about the staff employee surveys, is we can sit here and think, right, my staff really value this, this and this. But until you go out to them and ask them, you're not going to get the right answer. One of our surveys we did earlier on this year, it came, we were asking about different packages and, you know, and what one thing that came back solidly from the majority of people was if we offered dental care. And I was like, why is everyone saying dentist? And so that is something that obviously is a priority for them. And it's about asking them and not just assuming, you know, what they want.
No, totally. No, amazing. Amazing. Chris, moving across to yourself, and that's, I'm going to stay on a similar note on this financial side, if that's okay, because I think that you probably see that I suppose crisis side, divorce being a key reason. Do you have anything to add on Sabine's point, but around that kind of financial side?
Yeah, I mean, when people are going through a major life change, like a separation or a divorce, everything is potentially up in the air and about to change. They could be moving house. They might need to remortgage. They might be having to liquidate savings or investments. They might have be borrowing extensive amounts. Their outgoings versus their income is going to be changing in the foreseeable future. And everything seems really fluid. Now, I think a lot of members of staff who are going through that in their private life like the fact that if they've got a really good employer, they have some stability. And that's one thing that's not changing. Unless it's, of course, changing for the good. Then, of course, great, change away. You know, they are going through all those changes. And one of the big things they might actually need is a bit of guidance and support. They might be getting some of that through if they've got a good family lawyer on board. They might be getting that from them. But actually, they might need something a bit different. And, you know, so I've seen lots of employers for many of my clients who offer some subsidized counseling or support, etc., to go alongside what they're going through in their personal life. Because the business wants to keep a focused employee and they want to help them transition mentally through whatever they're going through at home. And so therefore there is a benefit both to employee and employer in potentially considering those kind of extra support benefits at times of crisis. And there are lots of local businesses across Oxfordshire who you can collaborate with in order to offer these kind of extra services. And I would definitely encourage businesses to reach out in their local communities, their local networking groups. Is there ways that they can qualitatively and holistically support their employees, not just through major life changes like divorce? Obviously, that's my focus and my expertise, but generally speaking as well. And I think that can have a real tangible benefit and also keeps the money moving around in our local communities.
Totally, totally. Alice, complete the hat trick, because I think we've had some great points here from Sabina and Chris. What's your take on this?
I think, well, interestingly, where Chris was touching on the kind of counselling, I think a free thing for employers, if you're aware of what services are available, people can self-refer for therapy. They can do it online. They don't have to go through their doctors. And if you can have those signs up in, you know, if it's in the washrooms or the kitchens on notice boards, and you know what services are available for financial help, mental health, well-being, all of those things, but also then allowing your staff to take the time to attend those appointments, whether that's online or in person. I've used therapy services through the NHS and my employer was great. I got that time to go and have that because, again, I work better at work and all of those things. One of the things in terms of the supporting staff, and one of the things that I've heard a lot over the years from employers, will put that in place, people will take advantage. And I think my stance on that is always, first of all, you should trust your employees. If you don't trust your employees, why are you employing them? But also, you will always get people. There will always be someone at some point who will take advantage of the things that you put in place. But actually, if you've got those strong policies in place, deal with that individual. You can support the whole without working to the lowest common denominator, without working to that one person who might upset the apple cart. And then your staff will feel valued and supported. Whereas if you do it the other way around, it's harder for individuals to come and ask for that support. Put it in place, deal with a problem if it arises. But generally speaking, I don't think too many people do.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Great, great, great advice. I'm absolutely gutted that we've run out of time because I could have definitely spoken for a good another hour. So thank you so much, the three of you, for sharing such knowledge and expertise and such genuine, authentic advice. I think it's been absolutely incredible. My final tip, just as a passing note, and I said this a couple of times before, please, please, please follow these three experts because all three of them are so very kind and generous with their support. So we've had Sabina North of Be Free Young Carers, Chris Sutton of Fenton Elliott Solicitors, and Alice Biddescombe of Panda People. So thank you so much to the three of you. Just a reminder, we are going to be back next week with a bit of a different show. So we're going to be talking about the future of recruitment. And to do that, I'm actually handed over the microphone for the first time in 300 shows. I'm not going to be presenting. I am going to be giving my thoughts and my insight all by myself. I'm so grown up. Anyway, but also a reminder, you can listen to this radio show on the radio or online every Sunday at 11 a.m. Also, if you miss it, please look out for the podcast version, which is available on every major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning on all of the major podcast platforms. And if you would like to see my lovely guests, please do head over to the Facebook page of the Get Radio socials, or indeed their website on the Tuesday morning as well. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.